on BYU football with Kalani Sitake. The Cougars remain undefeated after conjuring some last-minute magic at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Last Friday's wild win over Oklahoma State sets up a journey from Provo to Orlando. And we're taking a look back and ahead with Kalani and offensive lineman Caleb Etienne next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Welcome in. Great to have you all here. Hello and good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the beautiful Brigham Young University campus here in Provo, Utah. It is our week 8 edition of BYU football with Kalani Sitake. So glad you're joining us either live or on demand on the BYU TV and BYU radio apps along with ESPN+. Coming up on this evening's broadcast, we will flashback to Friday night and a win for the ages at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Wide receiver Keelan Marion is our guest inside the film room. We will preview a Saturday showdown with UCF in Orlando. Deep Blue will profile BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon. Offensive lineman Caleb Etienne will be our in-studio guest. Plus, we'll have our mini game show segment, some Q&A with the coach and Caleb, our BYU football trivia question, and a game day fit check, as the kids say. There are only two BYU coaches who've led BYU to starts of 7-0 or better twice. The legend, Lavelle Edwards, and the man we introduce to you now to get tonight's show underway. Please welcome in the head coach of your BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake.
Hi, everybody. What's going on?
Great to see you again.
Yeah, here we go, man. Another week.
With a Friday game, it was an extra day without me seeing you, so I'm glad that we're back together.
I know. We went late into the night, though.
We did. That's true. Saturday. We ended it Saturday morning. Yeah. Good point. Friday nights, meantime, Friday nights or Saturday nights, any nighttime game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, just seems like it gets more and more epic these days.
Yeah, I mean, this one's crazy. The drones just made it so much different. I mean, like,
Did you know they were coming when you walked out?
I had no idea about all of it, and then I wasn't really paying attention to all that stuff. I'm trying to pay attention to the field, and I just kept taking peeks. I was like, what is that? And then noticing it. Like, even didn't know Cosmo was going to be, you know, on top of the scoreboard, but on the big screen. So we're all looking for him. But, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I think the atmosphere is awesome. The players and enjoy being around it, and the fans were amazing. So I'm glad that we were able to pull it off. Everybody was praying and willing it, and I think I give credit to everybody for making it happen. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, but between the environment itself and then what the team is doing, these are like show-stopping nights that you're putting on.
Yeah, I mean, I like the boring wins, to be honest with you.
I know you do.
So, like, I don't mind these ones, and there's a lot of fun, but I don't mind the other ones, too. So, like, I think there's a lot to learn from this game. It's where you can't just take you think that you can make mistakes and that we're going to be okay. I think we're getting to the point now where some of those mistakes can really hurt you and hurt your chances of winning. So we want our guys to play a little bit more clean. And then Oklahoma State did some things that were way different than what we expected.
They used the bye week well.
They did. They did a great job with it. And I think we could have made the adjustments earlier, but the big plays of the 2 50-yard runs were really hurtful. And then not getting out of the third downs, give them credit, they were making third and short. So we just couldn't make the plays to get out of third downs and get out of fourth downs. But I like the way the guys just kept fighting. The effort was there. We made it really, really tough on them. But I like to just, like, handle things earlier. But we really shot ourselves in the foot with some of the mistakes that we made as a team. But I'm glad that the guys stuck with it and were able to get this win eventually.
We'll talk more about the game itself. I want to go big picture for a second, though. So much of your BYU fandom, you know, goes back to when you were a kid and memories that get made, you know, when you're an impressionable youth and BYU football kind of roots in your heart a little bit. And games like Friday night, those end up as memory makers, right? Those are the things that kind of, again, take hold in people's generate people's fandom.
Yeah, and anytime you have those special type of seasons where you're doing really, really well, it's you just have to find ways to win. And sometimes they're not the way you thought it was going to be, and sometimes they're really close. And I like that it tested our team, but I like that our offense was able to find a way to get the win. We practice that situation all the time, and I'm glad that the guys, like, it was like they've been used to it. You know, you look at how it made me a little nervous that we got the fourth down, but I like the way they were executing, the plays that they're making. Jake did a great job extending the plays and getting that long run. Chase did a great job getting open and catching that ball on fourth down, and then obviously Darius did his thing. And I thought that's why we were taking the timeouts when Oklahoma State was marching down to score or threatening to score. We're taking timeouts, trying to preserve as much time as we can, knowing that we might have to react with a score of our own to try to get the win.
How's this team's a week by week mentality that you've preached from the get-go this year?
Yeah, the team's really bought in on trying to get better. And you know, after the game, we want to celebrate and have a good time. But I love their mentality. The next day, guys got an early start on UCF and wanted to get, just kind of make some corrections. I know the coaches and the players wanted to get working on the next week. And the mentality was, like we always say, stay humble and stay hungry. And I like the way the team came to work yesterday, and I like the way they practice, with yesterday's meetings and today's practice and all that stuff. It's going really nicely. We just don't know what's going to happen this weekend, but I know our guys will give the best effort, and the work during the week is looking really good, and I have to give that a lot of credit to the senior leadership that we have on our team.
What did you do with your open Saturday, by the way?
Just get ready for UCF and spend some time with family, just try to... I was a little bit lazy, too, just to be honest with you. I just watched some football and hung out, and then I always eat, so that was always fun. But, it was just a good day to relax. I wanted our coaches to kind of get that time to chill, but knowing our coaches and our players, they all went to work. A lot of our players showed up on Saturday to get some extra work in, get some extra film in, so... it's nice when you have a bunch of guys that just want to take the initiative and take ownership of the team, and I'm really honored to be able to coach those guys.
Let's get back into what went down on Friday. It was 4 days ago, Oklahoma State playing in Provo for the first time ever. It was the Cougs and Pokes for the fourth time all time. BYU looking for its first ever win over OSU. We do take a look back with this week's Momentum Moment and top player performances presented by Waystar. And the Momentum Moment... we're going to pick the three plays in the final drive. 4th and 7, big grab by Chase Roberts to keep the game going. And then Jake Retzloff, when some people might think he's going to go out of bounds, he cuts it upfield, huge gain, kind of setting up the dramatics that followed right after.
He did a great job running the ball all night, and so I'm glad he's able to get that done. And then this one, I think we all have seen this a bunch of times. just the weird thing is how Darius had this dance ready to go. It just doesn't, just knew that it was going to happen. You know what I mean? It's like that. I just love the way that the players on the sideline, the belief was there. I mean, we're just having a lot of fun, and we have fun all the time. But things are working really nicely. And like I said, the leadership that we're getting on the team is dynamic, and I love being with those guys.
What I loved most when watching it or hearing it after was just how loud the crowd was. I mean, the place just exploded.
Yeah, I mean, that's it hurts us sometimes when we're trying to. It's crazy because the defense is asking for more noise. But then they're trying to communicate, and they miscommunicated sometimes. So it's like, thanks a lot, guys. You guys gave up some big plays with miscommunication. We're trying to throw them off, not us. But maybe we have to work with crowd noise when we're playing at home. We really are going to do that. Talked about it with Jay and the defensive staff, and so they just got to get used to doing that. It's deafening, and it's awesome. So don't stop. We'll communicate better, and we'll have things. We'll do better signals and things like that. But. It's such a huge advantage for us. And you saw Mike Gundy gave it a lot of credit on the atmosphere and the game. I love showing off BYU and love showing off our fans.
Let's get into some individuals that stood out on Friday. LJ Martin, it was actually kind of surprising when I thought about the fact that it was his first 100-yard game. It felt like he had a couple last year because he's so good. First 100-yard game, career-high 120 rush yards, 2 more touchdowns for LJ. Great to have him back.
Yeah, he's starting to get really comfortable with the scheme and the technique that we're using, and have to give a lot of credit to the guys that are blocking downfield, but he's making people miss, too. He's starting to get the rhythm of everything, and man, I think he's a force for us. That's why not a lot of true freshmen come in and play for you right away, and he did that for us last year. And I mean, he's a dynamic and special player.
And it was great to have the depth in the running back room when he was out, but now that he's back, you see what you were missing with him.
Yeah, I love the depth on our team and the buy-in and the guys that we can go to to all the backs. I mean, we had six running backs that we used this year, and and you know, we have two more that we can use just in case, but I don't want to do that. Let's stick with the guys that we have now, and we know that we can use the other guys in some packages and things that we can do to gain an advantage, but there we had some two back sets too, and so it's just nice to have the backs back and healthy with him and Hinkley.
Let's talk about the player that Coach Aaron Roderick selected as his offensive player of the game, and that was Darius Lassiter. Career high 129 receiving yards for Darius.
Yeah, he's just so smooth, and he runs great routes. And
first play of the game here.
First play of the game, you know, just great skills and tracking the ball in the air, and so I'm really proud of him, and he does. I mean, he's worked extremely hard for this, and just really glad that it's all working out. And it gives us a little bit more. You saw him and Keelan and JoJo and, you know, and all the different receivers, Chase Roberts, all the guys we can go to. It's nice to have all those guys ready to roll.
And let's take a look at a defensive player as well. And it was the player that Jay Hill picked as his defensive player of the game from Oklahoma State. And that's the true freshman safety, Tommy Prassis.
Yeah, Tommy did a great job at free safety for us. And I know him and we have a number of safeties that get in there and get reps. And for a true freshman, I mentioned it about LJ being a true freshman to play. And this is Tommy being able to be a true freshman to play for us. It's been amazing. So he's got a bright future ahead of him. But yeah, we got a lot to accomplish this year, and I love his work ethic. He comes from a great family, and he's used to being successful, and I think his instincts are doing really well for us. He can scoop and score.
Yeah, had the
we have been teaching Harry how to do that a little bit this week. So
we called him Touchdown Tommy after that one earlier. So it's the second takeaway of the year. He had the scoop and score, and now the interception. All right, good stuff. Earlier this season, he gave us one of the year's most memorable moments with a kickoff return, a decade in the making, his 100-yard house call at Wyoming. This past Friday, he got into the end zone for the second time this season, this time on a tightrope TD reception. And tonight, Keelan Marion takes us through his performance against the Pokes and hits the other high notes as he joins our Jerem Jordan inside the film room.
Keelan, I can't think of a better person to sit in for the film room this week because, in a way, not only was the Oklahoma State win monumental for your team, but you made a little of your own personal history in this game with your first touchdown catch.
Yes, sir. Felt great.
If you don't mind, let's get into this play. What's the call, and what is the plan going into this play to get you into the end zone, receiving a touchdown for the first time at BYU?
Okay, so we was coming out the huddle. You know, it's like a fake over route back to the corner, kind of. So I kind of noted that safety had been like playing with his eyes, like looking in the backfield all game, because I know I had some blocks where I had to push crack and go get him for LJ. And he just was shooting down hard. So when I ran the route, as I kind of like sold it over, I seen from the jump of the snap, he kind of like just staring Jake down. So when I sold it over and I came back out, I knew I had got him. And then Jake threw a dime. But
you run the sail almost.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Like a sail, yes, sir.
To that boundary over there. And then you do a good job to stay in bounds here, Keelan. They had to review this to make sure that your toe didn't go out of bounds.
Yes, I came to the sideline, and Coach Fish was like, oh, Key, they called it back. They say you stepped out of the three. And my heart just dropped. I'm like, wow. And then we looked back up, and they let it roll.
And this makes it even better because you don't want to hit that touchdown celebration and then have it called back.
Yeah,
so what's happening here?
I was kind of like just shocked that I scored. You know, that's my first receiving TD here, so I was just kind of shocked. So that's why I kind of froze. And then I did the dance too fast, but where I left Darius still dancing. So we got to the sideline, Darius like, man, why you stop? I was like, I ain't want to get a flag. I ain't know what to do.
I almost like the in-the-mirror celebration. It's almost like Darius is doing it delayed. Just tell people you did it that way on purpose.
Yeah,
like, I wanted to do it, and then he wanted to do it 3 seconds after.
Yeah, they was clowning us on social media saying we couldn't dance and stuff, though. But I'm working on it. You know, Darius the best dancer on the team, so we getting it right. He's getting it right.
Now let's fast forward to the drive.
Yes, sir.
What's going through your mind when Darius gets into the end zone?
You know, like I had the ankle problem, so I'm thinking like, okay, JoJo, catch the dig. I'm going right back in the sub, and we're going to score. My spat was like rubbing the back of my heel, so I asked Coach to give me a sub, and that's when JoJo come in. I was going to go right back in.
Okay, so, and I'm glad you bring up JoJo. So JoJo comes in to replace you.
Yes, sir.
And Darius tells me that JoJo is the primary target.
Yeah, he was.
On the game-winning play.
Yes, sir.
So what's happening there from the 35-yard line when JoJo is the guy.
So we're driving, you know, Chase and Darius have two clear routes. Chase has to get over across the field. Darius runs up the seam, and JoJo cuts off of Darius once he clears the seam. But just so happened, you know, JoJo gets there a little early, you know, Jake gets a little pressure. So he tries to throw it in, but Darius just having to get rerouted, like get bumps off his route, and turns around and having to be right there in the spot to catch the ball. At the moment, when Darius scored, I ran and jumped on the little trainer table with Trey, and we just like, just was yelling, just like, I had a headache. When I hugged you, I had a headache. So I was just like out of it, I had a headache. It was crazy though. It was a crazy feeling, you know, to keep that undefeated record, you know what I'm saying? Take it 1 week at a time. It felt great.
Well, congratulations on an unforgettable moment. Playing in front of just a raucous Lavelle Edwards Stadium crowd. You're 7-0, now it's UCF. What does a win like this, because it wasn't your prototypical dominant BYU win like you've had this year. You had to grind for this one. So what does this do to help you get ready for UCF in the remainder of the season?
Oh yeah, so we know once they score that with 1 minute left in the game, coach came up to us and said, yeah, this is gonna show us who we are. You know, the guys, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I told you, we work this every week, every weekend, you know, working before the games in the hotel. And so once we did it, we knew what we could do at any moment of the game, you know, is who drove down there in a minute. Like, Jay, you know, I'm pretty sure people was kind of upset by, like, how he was playing or whatever, but, you know, like, you can't never underestimate that guy. You can't never underestimate him, put nothing past him, because he can do it all.
Heart of the champion.
Yeah, he led us to that undefeated game.
Well, and congratulations on your first touchdown catch. It's about time, right?
Yes, sir. It was due time.
You scored plenty of touchdowns. It's wild that you had a kickoff return for a touchdown before you had a receiving touchdown, but yeah, here we are.
Yes, sir. I didn't even know how to feel once I caught it because I haven't scored a receiving touchdown in so long. But, you know, God makes everything happen for a reason.
Hey, listen, Twinkle Toes Marion over there on the sideline, staying in bounds, man.
They say wear white cleats at home, so they're safe.
This is great advice. So many words of wisdom from you, Keelan.
Yes, sir.
Congrats, my friend. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having me. Felt good.
And shout out Spencer Linton, pinch hitting for Jerem in the film room. We'll get Jerem back in there soon enough. Keelan Marion's got a great personality, and clearly he's got skills to match.
Yeah, he's awesome. Having him on the team, he's a great personality, but he's bought in and he does all the little things right, you know. And having him and Trey here from Atlanta, having that connection to the East, I think is good for us. And they bring a different perspective on things, and we're lucky to have him on our team.
Before we put the game to bed, let's take a look at some of the final key stats from BYU's win over Oklahoma State, presented by Smarty. One of those games, the rare game, Kalani, where you're actually minus in the turnover margin but find a way to win this one. But like you said, you're kind of playing with fire when you make, you know, maybe three turnovers like that and kind of hope for the best.
Yeah, and the turnovers were disappointing because they were in the red zone. I mean, I think we got on the 25-yard line and they were on first down. The two I'm talking about, the one that Hinkley threw and the one that Jake threw. So it's like we want our guys to be smarter and know that if the play is not there, you don't have to force it. I think we forced some in the past and even early in the season. Right now, just be smart and take the calculated risks rather than cost the team. So we cost us some points and had to win it at the end like that because of those turnovers.
BYU now 7-0 on the season, 4-0 in the Big 12, atop the league with Iowa State. BYU now ranked 11th in the latest AP poll. The Cougs now hit the road to face UCF in Orlando on Saturday afternoon. The Knights sliding right now. They've dropped 4 in a row, Coach. They opened up 3-0. Things were looking good. They've lost 4 in a row. They've changed quarterbacks. KJ Jefferson has now been replaced by Jakari Brown, and his first start last week didn't get them the win, but he showed how dangerous he could be. He ran for more than 150 yards last week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're watching the film of us against Oklahoma State and feeling pretty confident what they can do. I mean, they're one of the top offenses, especially running the ball in the country. And so we have to be really disciplined on defense. So we have to find ways to stop the run. But he's talented enough, and Gus Malzahn's a great coach. So they'll try to find ways to advance the ball and try to get it on the scoreboard. We've got to be really disciplined and got to be our best on defense. And offensively, we just can't afford it to turn the ball over. Now, I want us to play aggressive and take some chances, but like let's play good complementary football in all three phases, and I think if we do that, then we'll like the result.
Big 12 is a great running back league, and number seven, R.J. Harvey, is sixth nationally right now in rush yards per game. He had 196 rushing yards in Ames.
Yeah, tons of speed and athleticism. You could see that he could stop on a dime, get and go. He can stop and go, he can. I mean, he finds the open gaps, and he makes it really hard for us. So the front seven's got to be good at being disciplined in their gaps, and that's easier said than done. But we're working really hard on it, and then we want to show way different than what we did against Oklahoma State. We know we can play better defense than that.
Okay, it is break time, and as we break, this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Jerem and Spencer weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV. You can hear the show on BYU Radio. When we return, Deep Blue will profile BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon. And starting left tackle Caleb Etienne will join us live in studio when BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
I do like that. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Time now for our weekly Deep Blue profile. And it was not an easy journey to BYU for senior transfer quarterback Gary Bohannon. The challenge of changing teams and season-ending injuries caused real self-assessment and self-reflection. But the support of his family and faith in God helped light his pathway back to the sport and eventually his path to Provo. This is Deep Blue featuring Gary Bohannon.
So he FaceTimed me, and I immediately knew something was wrong because usually when he FaceTimes me, his face is always going to be in the phone. You know, he was trying to keep me from worrying because he was worried, and I could tell he was very emotional. He said, "Mama, I'm not going to be able to play anymore. I'm not going to be able to play anymore."
I'm from rural Arkansas. Population right now is probably about 2,800 people. For me, I just grew up more to the outside world, nature, playing basketball, football outside. I'm just spending time with my family. It's pretty much been in a small town, ain't too much to do.
Our school didn't come with the resources that bigger schools came with. So there was no quarterback coach, there was no offensive coordinator. There's a coach and a couple of supporting coaches. Gary would come home, go on YouTube, and learn different things that he wanted to learn about football. He taught himself how to play quarterback. He didn't make any excuses. He just went out and found the resources for himself, and he utilized them.
If their best player was a running back, Gary was in the hole. If their best player was a wide receiver, Gary was at corner. Whatever, I mean, he was that type of kid. Like, I mean, he was a true man amongst boys on the football field, and even through minor injuries and aches and pains, he still came to work every day. No complaining, no issues.
At first, it was a big adjustment moving from rural Arkansas to Texas. I was only used to my community. So for me, getting there, it was just about working hard, getting a degree, just finding a way to impact and inspire those around me, whether it was a coach, a player, a student in the classroom with me, or a kid that came to a camp, whatever it was just about continuing to spread my story.
His first time touching the field, that was like an adrenaline rush. It was just like mind-blowing. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's really doing it. We would stay up 2 o'clock in the morning talking about what he wanted to do, and to see him actually go in, get some snaps, like, that was amazing.
Seeing him enjoy that moment of winning the Sugar Bowl, as a mom, you're proud. You know, you want to see your children accomplish their goals, and that was a goal of his.
After the 2021 season, I came back to Baylor, went to spring ball, and me and the coaches decided that it was best to part ways, and I wanted a new start, a fresh start. So I ended up going to South Florida.
It's a new team. He's getting accustomed to playing with these guys. You know, you have to get in the rhythm. I pray for him, pray good. I'm like, Lord, please don't let him get injured. Just let him have a great game.
It was about 3 to 4 minutes into the second quarter. And as I ran, I decided to get, after I got the first down, to go down. And the kid from Tulane, the corner, dove into my shoulder.
One play changed the game. Gary is the type of person, since he was a kid, he can be bleeding, He can dislocate something. It doesn't matter the injury. He's still gonna act like nothing's going on. So for him to get hit and he stayed down that long, I looked at my mom and I told her, he's injured.
You automatically hear silence, you know, go across the stadium, and we're like, okay. We're counting. I'm like, okay, baby, you gotta get up. You gotta get up.
For me, it was like I always wanted to be that player, that person that was the light of the room, that was the comfort when things were tough. You could look at me. And now I was in a situation I'd never been in. Now all eyes on me while I'm injured as well. So like for me, how could I handle that? And that was Saturday, so that Monday I go get my MRI, my CT scan, go do everything, the X-ray, come back the next day, you tore your labrum. As a quarterback, you know, the people tell you don't want to tear your labrum as a quarterback, as a thrower, because I was told that was a career-ending injury.
That's the worst I've seen him, from being frustrated to being disappointed and just having this gloomy energy. He wasn't his self, because it's like, what do I do? What am I going to do?
I've never been at such a low point in my life, so I really didn't know how to handle it. I went into a phase I wanted to get through it on my own. And there came a time at about 6 months when I realized I couldn't do it alone. And as a man, we always want to do everything on our own. We always want to be the provider, the helper, the smile, the joy, the one that everybody looks for comfort in. And for me, about 6 months, I realized that I needed help. And I've never been the one to ask for help, but I needed help. I sat in the car on FaceTime with my mama for about 3 hours, crying, telling her I was done. I don't want to play anymore. I'm tired of rehabbing. I can't keep doing this. Like, the injury won. And sitting out there talking to her, she was just so positive.
God didn't bring you this far just to bring you this far. This is just a bump in the road. It's just a detour. What you have to focus on now is learning yourself better, strengthening your relationship with God, and then also saying, okay, God, what lesson am I to learn from this? What are you trying to teach me about myself?
I did everything to avoid hitting rock bottom because I was scared. I didn't know what it looked like to fail. So kind of dove into my faith even more. As my faith grew, I didn't feel alone anymore. I felt like I finally started to feel like I can overcome this.
It was all him. He had to sit with himself. So whatever God was showing him at that time, it was for him. So he really got a chance to take a deep dive, and I think it was one of the best things that happened to him. I hate that he got injured, but I think it was one of the best things that happened to him.
The version that the world got, you know, of Gary, you know, before the injury, that was a pretty solid guy. But I think he's learned more about himself. I think that bar has been set even higher with him being able to return to football. I think he's going to play with a different intensity. His story is just beginning.
I know deep down inside he's competitive, but the way he carries himself is that my best days are ahead of me. I look at him every day, I'm like, man, this guy, you would think that he's fresh off of winning a Super Bowl. The way he carries himself, the smile.
I like to tell people, don't ever give up on a dream that you're chasing. Don't give up. Just because something hard happens, don't mean it's over. Hard things happen to everybody. Whatever positions I'm in, they're going through some difficulties and some hardships. Accept those hardships and attack those hardships, because it's going to build you up in the long run. You'll be a better person coming out of it.
How valuable is Gary Bohannon to your football team right now?
We wouldn't be the same team without him. I mean, he's one of our best leaders on the team, and he's won the Big 12 championships before, so he's given Jake some great mentoring, and he's taught me a lot as a coach, and so you can see the adversity that he's and how he's dealt with it, and he's always positive, and so that's something that our players can look at, the competition that they had that Gary had with Jake. I mean, they handled it the best way you possibly could think of as a head coach, and the team is a lot closer, and they love each other a lot more because Gary's here as a leader for us.
And he's still a heck of a quarterback.
No, he's awesome. I mean, and it's great to have a room full of quarterbacks that we can trust. But we trust him with everything else, with the culture of our team, with leading our guys. He loves serving others, and he has a different perspective in life. And he's going to do some amazing things in the community as a business leader, you know, and as a father and as a husband. I'm excited for his future.
Well, last Friday's win over Oklahoma State will forever live in Cougar fans' memories. But for our special guest tonight, that game will resonate even more deeply because of how he ended up playing against the Cowboys after having played for the Cowboys. Please welcome into Studio C, BYU's starting left tackle, Caleb Etienne.
How are you, Caleb? Good to see you. Thanks for coming. I appreciate you.
Several.
Great to have you here. All right, man. Even though you've moved on, you're on to UCF. How fun was four nights ago at Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
It was fun. It was amazing. I was excited, very emotional. You know, game for me. Lost to them last year, so I mean, they got a taste of their own poison this year. And, it was just a great feeling, you know, just to be able to get a win in Les Stadium, and just have that. Feeling just with my team and just the coaches and everybody, the fans as well, just to get that win.
I kind of referenced it in the introduction to you a moment ago, but you were an Oklahoma State Cowboy. Not the first time you've played. You faced him last year in Stillwater. That might be. I thought maybe Caleb's best game last year might have come in the last game against Oklahoma State. Just having had two times to play against your former team now and then have the second time end up the way it did, I know you were emotional after the game on Friday night.
Right, yeah, very emotional, like I said. I respect those guys a lot. You know, played against them at practice, of course, and just seeing them, you know, come up here in Utah and with the elevation and the fans we have, like they felt like, you know, they were shocked. So I mean, they didn't show as much love as they did last year. But it's all good. So I'm happy. So that's all that matters.
And just the overall experience in the stadium Friday night from, I mean, it was just an energetic night from start to finish, but then to end it the way you did.
Yeah, it ended, you know, with me crying and just, it was crazy, you know, got the, you know, Jake through the pass to Darius, and that was the moment of the game right there, so.
Kalani, when you found out that Caleb would consider BYU, what were your thoughts first time?
Yeah, I mean, we call him Tree, you know, but it was good to have Tree get the win. But I've enjoyed coaching him, having him here the last couple of years. He did a great job for us last year, and having his presence, his leadership. I mean, he's a senior, one of the senior leaders that I talk about, as well as Gary Bohannon and the others. But, you know, when Tree speaks, people listen. And it's probably because he's huge and big, but he's got... He's got a great heart, and I've been so proud of him and having him. I mean, we've had a good line of tackles that are played here. This guy's going to get drafted. You know, the scouts are all over him, and for him to be so humble and to always work and to help along, you know, with Connor and Kaim, the seniors running that O-line, I think he's done a great job. And I love having him around. I just wish he can get another year. That'd be really good for me.
they do call you Tree. When did that start?
In JUCO, in Butler Community College. So I played with Darius Lassiter in Butler in Kansas. And I was just, once I got on campus, you know, that was just my new nickname because I was just the biggest one on campus. So start calling me Tree.
And it stuck.
Yeah, it just carried over.
Okay, tell us a bit about your journey from the Bayou to JUCO to Stillwater and finally to Provo.
So yeah, I'm born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana, pretty much. Was living there all the way up until Hurricane Katrina that happened in 2004. We moved after that happened to Texas. So, but I'm the second oldest of my four siblings, and we lived in Texas for like until 2012, and as we moved back to Louisiana, went to school out there, went to middle school, then high school, went to Warren Easton Charter High School, pretty good school. Right there on Canal Street, so get to see, you know, got the street carts and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a fun experience there. Great coaching staff over there. Ended up getting, you know, just a lot of offers, you know, just playing there. I was committed to Ole Miss, but I couldn't qualify, so I had to go JUCO, the JUCO route. Ended up going to the first year in JUCO, I had went to Fort Scott Community College.
It's in Kansas?
Yeah, it's in Kansas. And I played there for my first year of college. Well, just basically just junior college. I didn't have no line coach, so that was just pretty rough for me, you know, just trying to go out there and just learn what to do, just basically what I just knew from high school, I guess. So But yeah, I fought through that adversity stuff and just try to finish the rest of the season. And after that, I just left there because everything was just starting to like tear down. The head coach got fired, so I just found me a new home and had a coach that was like that. Who was at Fort Scott? He had got a job at Butler. It was one night they pretty much kicked me out because they was mad that I was leaving Fort Scott. So once they found out, you know, I was leaving, they basically just kicked me out. So I had told my coach that was at Butler. He came, drove like 2 hours. But the thing is, I had all my stuff. I was about to get ready to go to Coffeyville College. I had all my stuff at Coffeyville College, and he had brought me to Coffeyville College first. He came from Butler, and got me, went to Coffeyville College, get all my stuff, and then drove back to Butler. And the next morning, I had got my first offer. So I was like that was a blessing. I was like, this is crazy. And that's when, it just started to change, and everything was just starting to happen. But I didn't get to play at Butler because I just wanted to just chill there. I didn't want to get injured or nothing. It was just pretty like COVID and all that stuff. So after that, I just finished the school, got my AA associate's degree, and pretty much I had committed to Oklahoma State. That was my offer that I had. It was Texas Tech, Houston, and Oklahoma State. I thought Oklahoma State was my best option at the time. Once I got to Oklahoma State, I had redshirted. I only played in two games. I was like really like overweight. I was like 380. So, but right now, 325. So I had to lose a lot of weight to go out there and just, you know, it's a different transition from JUCO to D1. You know, you got to know the plays. You got to be in shape, stuff like that. So I had to really be like disciplined and get my body together, like eat the right stuff, just take care of myself. Once I got that, you know, it was pretty much just trying to learn the playbook for me because that's just one of my like spots where I needed area growth in for sure. And then after that year, I had played 12 games there. Pretty much did pretty good. Only allowed like one sack, but it was in my best year. So I mean, I feel like I still needed more development. But after that happened, you know, I just felt like I had a decision to make. Didn't feel like, you know, I was getting any better, or, you know, just had to, it was time for me to, you know, move on. And Coach Kearsley, Brandon, he don't go here no more. He got a new job, but he was at Oklahoma State. He was the offensive line GA. We had a great relationship. You know, he helped me a lot when I was at Oklahoma State. We just had a great bonding, just watching film, extra film, and just, he just looked like, you know, just being like, he was like a father to me pretty much, just trying to help me and just, you know, be a better tackle and just a person in general. Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, once he left and he found out I was leaving to go get in the portal, you know, we connected and was telling me about BYU and stuff like that. And at the point, you know, BYU was coming to Big 12 and all that stuff. But I mean, that was all cool. Like, I wasn't worried about it. I was already Big 12, but it was just the relationship I have. And I just wanted to be coached and just be a better player for real. I wasn't coming here for the money or nothing. So, and that's another reason why Kalani really accepted me for real. He's big on that, you know. So it's just something I was just really bought into as well. And I was just thankful that, you know, they allowed me to come here and be a part of this, you know, special culture that they have here. Once I got here, it was hands-on. Like, everything that they said and, you know, talked over the phone was, you know, true. They was really just pouring all their knowledge into me and just trying to get me to be a better player like that I am today. So I'm just thankful.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks for describing your path to pro, man. I love it. All right, we'll come back with more from Caleb Etienne. Stay with us. Studio C. It's more BYU football with Kalani Sitake. All right. Time for a little fun and games on the show right now. It's a little game, a little activity we're calling This or That. Uh-huh. This or That with Caleb Etienne. All right, here we go. Pretty simple, this one, Caleb. We're simply going to ask your preference. Yeah. We're going to give you two choices, and you get to pick whether it's this or that. It'll go like this. For example, would you rather do a TikTok with Darius Lassiter or go on a hunt with Tyler Batty? TikTok with Darius or go hunting with Tyler?
Well, I think I'm tired. I done seen Darius dance too much already. I'd rather take my adventures with Tyler Batty in the world.
Okay. So Tyler Batty wins on that one, right? That's how it goes. So Tyler Batty's the winner on that. Very good. All right. There's been a little good-natured trash talking going back and forth, I think, between you and LJ, evidently. Would you rather beat LJ Martin in Madden or 2K?
I would say 2K.
Okay. Could you do both?
Yeah, I could do both, yeah.
Okay.
No, I can't.
All right, so 2K.
This and that.
Yeah.
This and both. Do you like fishing?
Yeah, I love to fish.
Okay. Would you rather go fishing in Alaska or Florida? Alaska or Key West, Florida, let's say.
I'd probably go to Florida. I never been to Alaska. I don't want to go there. It's too cold, but I mean, yeah, I don't know.
What's this or that then? Alaska or Florida? Florida. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go to Florida.
Florida. Okay, warm weather. That's all right. Florida. All right, you got some New Orleans background to you. Would you rather block for Jamal Williams or Taysom Hill?
I could block for both. I know they both going. They gonna score for sure.
All right, there it is. This and that once again. All right, both of our Saints. Are you a cuisine guy? You a food guy?
Yeah, I love food.
Okay, so etouffee or po' boy?
Fire po' boy. I'll tear that up. Yeah, I'll tear that up.
You going po' boy on that one?
Yeah.
No real choice. Okay, po' boy for Caleb on that one. I think I already know the answer on this one from your Alaska. Would you rather practice in extreme heat or practice in extreme cold?
Cold. I'll do the cold.
You want the cold in this one.
Yeah.
Don't want to go fishing in Alaska, but you'll take practice in the cold.
Yep. Yeah. I do not want to go fishing in no cold. I don't know.
But you will practice in
yeah,
it.
I'll go
okay,
practice.
Good stuff. Okay. Would you rather play a game in the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans or AT&T Stadium in Arlington?
AT&T.
AT&T.
Yeah, I want to play in the Saints Superdome. I want to play AT&T.
Of course, we all know we're AT&T hosts. Big 12, yeah. Big 12 title game. Okay, there you go. All right, more enjoyable for you. Lead block on a rushing touchdown or pancake on a passing touchdown?
I'll do lead block. Yeah,
lead block on a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
All right, leading the way. That's so the lead block for the rushing touchdown on this or that. All right, this next one. You keep it pretty tight, but would you rather, if you could grow it out, is it going to be hair like Fred Warner or the flow like Puka on that one?
I might go with Fred. I don't know if I could. If I look good with Puka.
So we're going to braid it up there like Fred Warner. Crazy. By the way, how cool is it? Okay, very good, Fred Warner. How cool is it that BYU's got some of like the best players in the NFL right now?
Nah, it's pretty awesome. Just especially when I saw Fred Warner, that was crazy to seeing him. You play on the game with him and you just see him in person, it's like, it's really Fred Warner. So, I mean, I was exciting to see him and just Puka as well. I've seen him too. It's nice. That's awesome that those guys played here and, you know, you're able to see them. And
they do come back, absolutely. All right, this last one. Would you like an NIL deal by Remington or Bass Pro Shops?
Bass Pro.
Bass Pro Shops for you? Okay, Bass Pro Shops. Very good. you do like the outdoor life, right?
Yeah, yep.
What's your favorite activity in the outdoors?
I'd just probably say fishing. Yeah, I want to go, like, hunting, but I haven't really been able to go hunting, and I know I've been taken out to go hunting before.
You must like the outdoors here in Utah, right?
Yeah.
You have any favorite places you go?
No.
Everything?
I just like fishing, you say?
Yeah, fishing.
The lake right here that you got.
Utah Lake?
Yeah, Utah Lake.
And you got the Provo River as well. You a fly fisher or not so much?
Nah, just regular.
Just regular cast. Okay, there you go. We've learned a lot about Caleb Etienne tonight. All right, when we come back, our weekly Q&A segment with the coach and Caleb on BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Continue.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
All right. Welcome back once again to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Let's head to our studio audience for our weekly Q&A segment presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We have teed up two questions, your name and your question, and who it's for.
I'll say mine is seafood. Yeah.
I eat everything. So I'm not too picky.
Same. Yeah.
Okay. Next question, young man, your name. Pull it down. There you go.
My name's Camden, and what did it feel like when you had 10 seconds left?
What did it feel like when you had 10 seconds left in the game on Friday night?
All I was thinking about was just blocking for my life for Jake to just make a play down, just to do something. That's all. I was just trying to score and just go down there and score for real.
What were you thinking, Kalani?
Same thing. It was for Caleb to make a block.
Yeah, maybe.
So he can get a score.
That matter.
I have a question for Caleb. Biggest difference between your 2023 season and your 2024 season at BYU?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big difference to me, and just, you know, the preparation, you know, I put in, and the coaches, you know, prepared us for, and for me too as well. It was just a change and a big, you know, adjustment as well for the off season for me to just be able to, you know, come into this season with just a different, you know, attitude and mindset, you know, and just going out there, confidence, just way better from last year as well. And just feel way better now just out there, you know, not nervous, just go out there and play ball, so.
How have you seen Caleb grow from one to the next?
Yeah, I think the leadership that we're seeing from him. Last year, he's kind of new and is just trying to feel things out. I think now he's speaking a lot more and demanding a lot more from his teammates. And it's good to have seniors on the team. That it's their last go. Yeah. So they want to make sure that it's done right. And I saw that from Caleb and his leadership. It's been awesome.
Hey, Caleb. This gets talked about a lot, but maybe not right from you. How do you say your last? How is the right way to say your last name?
ETN. Just basically just say ET and. That's pretty good. Put it together.
So if you just Caleb ETN, you're good to go.
Yep.
ETN, you'll answer it, but it's ETN.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, very good. You have a son.
Yes.
What's his name? Let's shout him out.
Caleb Jr. Shout out to him. He called him the Branch.
I love it. All right, as we take another break, here's this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. How many bowl games has BYU played in the state of Florida? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Tonight's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. How many bowl games has BYU played in the state of Florida? Of course, Cougars heading to the Sunshine State. The answer here is 4. Back in 1976, the Tangerine Bowl, 85 Citrus Bowl, 2014 Miami Beach Bowl, and then with Kalani, the Boca Raton Bowl in 2020. And in the Boca Raton Bowl, you played UCF.
Yeah, yep.
There you go. All right, let's take a look at this Saturday's broadcast schedule as BYU visits at UCF for only the second time all time. And you'll see the game on the ESPN. You'll hear it, of course, on BYU Radio. Things get underway at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time with BYU Sports Nation Game Day and Cougar Pregame Live with Hans and Mitch and Shep and me on the radio. The game you see there on ESPN at 1:30 Mountain Time, and then stay with BYU TV and BYU Radio for postgame coverage immediately following the contest. As for what the Cougars will be wearing in Orlando, we're told this is a first-time ever combination because of a new Royal face mask. It'll be Royal helmets with the Royal face mask, the white jerseys with Royal, and the Royal pants. That is the outfit for this weekend. And Kalani, you mentioned, I think it was during a break maybe, but the weather is looking like 80 and 50% humidity is what I saw. That's not too bad.
Not too bad. It's going to be nice. I mean, that's, you know, it's a little chilly here, so it's okay for us to have a little change up. Get to some humidity where there's a lot more air for us to breathe, so we're excited for it.
Okay, we have 30 seconds left. Caleb, just thoughts on being part of a 7-0 team right now that's number 11 in the AP poll.
It's an honor, but you know, I mean, we know that can't let it distract us. We got to just keep on, you know, taking week by week, practicing good, and preparing the right way, and you know, just trusting the process. Can't get too high or low.
All right. By the way, I'm so glad you came in tonight. It was a pleasure having you on the show. We're so glad you're at BYU.
Appreciate
Wish
it.
You all the best in the future and all the best this week. Kalani, it's always great. We will see you on the weekend.
Yes,
all right. For Kalani and Caleb and Greg Wrubell, have a great week. Take care.